Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What a beautiful name it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Liverpool and Chelsea are through to the final, and so are Hearts and Rangers. It's Monday, 18th of April. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Donaldson. Thank you.
Where is everybody? No one's at work, damn it all.
No.
Oh.
Pete drove in today. That's how dead it was.
The roads were clear. I just absolute clean run. The only 2 hours and a half.
This is what happens when I don't shut the gate on a Monday morning.
No, I had to let Pete in the office car park gate because he was sat in his car looking confused.
Well, Pete, when I shut the weekend gate at midnight on a Sunday, generally you don't want to be caught the other side. I know it might seem fun for the first 5 or 10 minutes, but believe me, by midweek you're in there with the Donaldsons and the Shaggers and the whole four people. you don't want to be there.
But you've extended it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, we are. You see. So it will be shut tonight, so make sure you're the right side of the gate.
Yeah, turn your pit bull off. Get back into the working week pit bull.
Pit bull's, he's only for the weekend. He's not for all week. Gentlemen, my goodness, before we get to that FA Cup action, we've got some exciting news, some very exciting news. It's exactly 1 year ago today since the launch and capitulation of the European Super League. Do you remember that? What a memory that was. Yeah. You can now listen to the first of 3 documentary episodes about exactly that on Football Ramble Presents Today. Andy Brassel, that man, spoke to a lot of journalists and fans about how the Super League came to be, their reactions to the news, and how fans fought back, and what it means for the future of our game. Here's a little taster of exactly what you can expect.
It arrives into our world like a torpedo into the middle of a ship.
They did talk to people at FIFA, and they didn't say no. They didn't say don't do it.
As soon as I found out that the clubs had actually signed up to it, I didn't realise quite how big it was going to be, actually, I have to say.
I suppose I saw a little bit of history happen without realising it was happening.
It's actually one of those moments that I will always hold very dear because I was there and I was part of it.
Would I have stopped, for example, watching Liverpool Football Club? The honest answer is I don't know.
And I remember the anger, immediate anger, the reaction to it. I've never known a 48 hours like that in my life.
It was remarkable at the time, and looking back on it, it seems almost incredible.
There we are. Episodes will be released Monday today, Wednesday and Friday this week on Football Ramble Presents. Catch the first episode of Back From the Brink now and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And it is true. Before we, as I said, don't get sidetracked by this because it's all there, but it is mad to look back at that and think, oh yeah, that did happen.
Yeah, and I was ambivalent about it at the time because I thought, you know, this is obviously terrible and the end of football as we know it. Mm. On the other hand, material for the show.
Yes. Well, I thought in football, the bigwigs do what they want to do, but they didn't do it this time.
Not this bigwig.
Not this one, baby.
There were no podcasts going when Rome was burning. I mean, if there was, it would have been amazing.
True.
Might have saved Rome.
You'd have been on it if it was. The podcast king.
Oh, dear. So get on that, everybody. Right to the FA Cup. Let's start with Manchester City 2, Liverpool 3. Another great game between these two sides. Jurgen Klopp said ahead of the match that his team could play much better than they did in the recent 2-2 draw at the Etihad, of course. He was right. He was right, Pete Donaldson. And he said that might have been their best 45 minutes under him.
Yeah, I think that could... I think I was expecting a much more calm match, but it really wasn't, was it? It was just really a bit...
But it doesn't disappoint between these two.
No, and it's starting to get like that kind of Man United, Liverpool kind of like reputation, those kind of matches from years gone by. I'm loving watching these two.
It's great, isn't it?
I watch it every week. But even though
Sadio Mane tackling one into the net.
Oh my goodness.
Football's funny like that, isn't it? Because Marcus, you could talk about things like how great Liverpool were for that 45 minutes.
Tactics.
Yeah, and how tactically astute they are and how technically gifted all the players are, and you can there's still room 17 minutes in for Mane to tackle one into the net.
It was glorious.
Yeah, the sort of thing you see in Sunday League football.
What I don't understand is what Stefan was doing. Now, normally, a keeper might take a bad touch, it goes away from him, and you think, oh, no, and he quickly runs and it's too late. You get that. You can have a bad touch with a bobble or whatever, or a bad pass, he's slightly panicked. There, he seemed to take a touch. Then he took another one. He seemed completely oblivious to Mane. Like, that was the funny thing. Like, it only seemed to be when he was, you know, fell on the grass. And
it's like he's saying, I've seen Edison do this. Yeah. He looks really cool.
I'm going to be even calmer.
Bit of this myself.
You know that photo that's done the rounds with him looking really calm as he's kind of playing the ball off his line? I was like, how can I better that?
Yeah. he was basically thinking he was like the guy who, on that meme video, who walks across the street where all those cars are flying around behind him and there's a massive car crash and he just carries on walking looking at his phone. Yeah. It's like that, but like that. He's dead.
Yeah. Like the...
Is Mane John Cena?
Yeah, it seemed like it.
It was like an outtake of that.
It was. Yeah. I found it confusing because... The pass back is fine, but Stefan's first touch is really odd.
Yeah.
Because the first touch, players at that level know the first touch they need to take themselves into space.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that, and then he doesn't react again. So it's almost like two mistakes in one.
He wasn't panicked or it was just a very odd behaviour.
Maybe that's how they drill it into them. Even in the middle of a horrific situation, they're as cool as ice. They continue to... Maybe if they panicked a bit more, he might just make the right decision.
Yeah, well, that's Guardiola, isn't it? It's always like, you know, trust the process and all
trust
that sort
the
of stuff.
Maybe they just thought, Marcus, the main goal threat from Liverpool here is from Ibrahim Konate, and no one else needs to be worried about. Because Konate scored again within 10 minutes.
Well, he did, yeah. What a towering header. He absolutely loves it.
It's three in a row or something.
I think they all thought, well, don't worry. Old Speller on the Football Ramble says Trent's going to get the first goal.
Oh, yeah.
So don't bother marking
him. Don't worry about him. Yeah, I ain't got to worry about him at all, yeah.
Oh, dear.
It was an incredible first-half performance from Liverpool. I thought City were confusingly slow. I understand Liverpool are a very, very good team who can do that to other teams. But I wouldn't expect them to do that to Man City in a big semi-final in a game that's really important to them.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a bit odd how much they were blown away.
Do you think after the Atletico game, Man City thought, right, let's just nice and easy relax, play ourselves in Liverpool, just a bit like that. No, that's not what's happening today.
Grealish's hair a rest for a bit.
And get old Peaky Jack in there. But no, I think with Liverpool, we've seen... It's funny. It really is an incredible battle between these two sides and the two managers as well. Two of the best managers we've seen in recent years in the game. And obviously...
Why won't they ever fight, though?
Who would you fancy?
I don't mean a physical fight. I just mean...
Who do you fancy for a physical fight?
Okay, Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pete?
Jurgen Klopp, he's bigger.
Yeah, but I think Guardiola... I think you've dismissed Guardiola a bit too quickly.
I think Guardiola... I need to see Guardiola in fight-appropriate clothing.
He's always wearing something mad, isn't he, I guess?
Yeah, true. Well, but it is an incredible battle between these two very different styles of football. And perhaps that's why it's often a good game, because they both play attacking stuff. We've seen Liverpool get the better of Man City before. We've obviously seen the opposite of that as well. But when Liverpool, they go right to the heart of Manchester City, it really can be effective. Wasn't too dissimilar to that, I think it was a quarter final of a Champions League in about 2018, a few seasons ago. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain scored a beauty at Anfield. Liverpool blew them away, and then they would go on to win the tie overall. But that first half in that first leg really won that tie. And it did remind me of that Liverpool, sometimes it's like, let's get the business done in the first half. Mm. Let's get it all done, because that kind of energy that they were giving off, that enthusiasm and that kind of pressing, you just can't do that for 90 minutes. Mm. So when you blow them away like that, yes, they got lucky with the second goal. There's no two ways about that. But they got every tackle, they unsettled them, and they're 3-0 up at half time. Now I know Man City nearly came back, but really, other than
but they didn't really.
No, it was.
That cuts to the core of it as well. The Champions League you're talking about is where Liverpool beat Man City 3-0 in the first leg, and the second leg was 2-1. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. I understand the comparison. I feel that the City, I think 3-0 is probably far too much to come back from if you look at the stats over the years. I mean, 2-0 is very tough, you know, even for a team of the quality of Man City, particularly when you're playing Liverpool. The thing that frustrated me is that Liverpool are clearly capable of that. They go into the half-time 3-0, and the first thing Man City want to do is say, if I've got any chance in this one-off knockout game, they need to score early in the second half. And of course, they do that, right? But then I found it odd, and it's really, I know it's a weird situation as a broadcaster to be sitting here criticising Guardiola because of everything he's achieved.
Sure.
But if I was a Man City fan, I'd be so frustrated with the fact that you get yourself back in the game, it's 3-1, you give it another 5 or 10 minutes, then you can really change the game with your substitutions, because you've got so many good players.
De Bruyne is just on the bench.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything.
Why is he on the subs bench if he's not going to?
But it's that whole thing of,
to come on.
No, this is the process. You've just got to, it'll just play itself out, it'll be okay, because 95% of the time, it is okay.
Mm. Grealish faded really badly in that game. Fernandinho looked half a second off it and should have came off. He could not go the distance at all. A lot of the other players were fairly quiet, but he doesn't do anything to affect the game. I think he brought Mahrez on like far too late.
Yeah, who then creates the
exactly second goal. makes a real difference, but it's far too late by that.
I mean,
point.
I suppose he sees Gabriel Jesus miss a chance or two. Alisson's there. I just think he thinks right. Liverpool they're not spent, but they've done what they wanted to do. They're not going to do that really in this second half. We've now got the ball. And it will probably be, you know, it'll come to fruition.
I understand that. And I think if you look at the first half through a different lens and you go, okay, well, Stefan doesn't make that mistake, which then he doesn't compound by missing it at the near post for the Mane second.
I mean, Mane's strike was beautiful, but,
it was,
but
he's got to save
but,
it.
But one he's could look at the keeper there,
And it's 1-0 at half time. Then Grealish scores straight after half time. Yeah, it's 1-0. And all of a sudden, it's a game. But you have to react to that. If you're 3-0 down at half time, you've got to change it.
Which, if you remember, obviously, as we all do, Guardiola created one of the best sides ever, you could argue, when he was manager for Barcelona. And when he left, I remember Gerard Piquet saying that when the new manager came in, was it Tata Martino? No, it was Villanova to start with, the late Villanova. And he said about one of these managers, it could have been Villanova or maybe Martino, I can't remember which one. And he said, it's good that we've got a plan B now. Which was a sort of, as the papers often call it, a thinly veiled dig.
Yeah.
Damning with faint praise.
Yeah. But it shows you that Guardiola, despite what he did with that Barcelona side, there was still that tiny teensy feeling of, but there is the very, very rare occasion where actually maybe another option or another plan might not go amiss here.
Marcus, could we get a little feature on the Football Ramble called Marcus's Tiny Tinsy Feeling?
Yeah.
And it could be like predictions, but they're just really small predictions.
I did predict alongside a 3-2 win.
Alongside your wicked whispers?
Did you
predict a 3-2 win?
I did, but it doesn't matter because it's the first goal scorer that it's all about,
true.
Here's a little tiny, teeny feeling I've got. I do miss Grealish in a Villa shirt.
Do you?
he just
tiny tipsy teeny feelings with Marcus.
Nice.
Yeah. I want him a bit more swashbuckling.
Do a tiny teeny tinsy. What is it? I don't even know what it is.
Tiny teeny. I've had in tipsy feelings
with Arthur Shelby from Peaky Blinders.
Lord, I think that. Ashton Villa, right? If he Villa comes round here, if I'm the real villain.
Oh, that's nice. It's a nice combination of the coverage of that semi-final.
We don't have a day off, doesn't it say we can't act like we've got a day off?
You've had a pop at Man City. We've all had a pop at Man City for the lack of substitutions. You've had a further pop at them in a way
for
that
signing
Jack Grealish. Yeah, for the Jack Grealish thing. Third one is we have to also, I'm sorry to drag it down, but we have to also say the greeting of the minute silence for the Hillsborough disaster was also poor, to the point where Gary Lineker actually had to say at half-time, a certain section of the fans have done this and they had to cut it short. I just thought that was really sad.
Absolutely spot on.
I think you've got to say it because I think
no, you do.
It's
you
a
do.
Big moment.
Totally, yeah. No, very sad.
And Liverpool's, by the way, Liverpool's quadruple still on, man.
Well, that is a good point. I think...
Has that ever been done before?
Celtic won the quadruple, I think, in the 60s.
Has it ever been done properly, though?
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Marcus's angry feelings.
Give it another jingle. It won't make it sound as bad when the circus bands get pissed off at me. Soften it, Pete.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Type it in.
Absolutely.
Right, Rangers songs.
Type in distraction jingle.
Yeah. Just play the national anthem. Yeah. Just compound it.
Celtic have done the quadruple, fair enough.
Quite magnificently.
Yeah. Was it in 67?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, because that was when they won the European Cup.
Incredible yeah. achievement.
Which is, you're right enough. But that's in men's football, of course.
Of course.
In women's football, it's been done.
But I think in men's football, in the current climate, the competition at the very top level is very strong. Manchester City are a very, very noble foe, one of the best teams we've ever seen in the Premier League. I know they're still ahead in the Premier League race at the time of recording.
Yeah.
But for Liverpool to win even three out of the four would be incredible, let alone all four.
It would be incredible. And Man City were on for a quadruple a couple of seasons ago when, you know, they were very, very impressive and they won the League Cup and the league, which is obviously a successful season, but slightly disappointing when the quadruple is spoken about. For Man City, it's about the Champions League.
Definitely.
Mm. It is about the Champions League. I fancy Man City to go on and win the league. Yeah. I would expect Liverpool probably to beat Chelsea. Yeah. But anyway, we shall see. But yes, you're absolutely right. Liverpool, they've already got the League Cup, and if they can win another one or two, that would be a very impressive season as well. They've got Chelsea, though, to play in the final. Chelsea, it's what we like to call a professional job.
We all wanted Crystal Palace to do it, though.
Yeah.
Apart from Chelsea fans, and I'm sorry, Chelsea fans, but that's how people feel.
I just don't. I just blue chip teams in the final of the FA Cup. Yeah. There's no magic for me.
I know what you mean. Yeah. And this is why, when I say, you know, the old professional job, is what you want. You want a bit of chaos.
Oh, from their point of view, it's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And when the game starts to sort of take shape, you just think, I just see how this is going to go, and Chelsea have got the quality. But fair play to them. A very controlled, disciplined win, you would have to say. They return to Wembley for the third FA Cup final. Can Mason Mount, who scored a lovely one, by the way, beautiful. Beautiful stuff. Can he end his Wembley final hoodoo?
Has he got a Wembley final hoodoo?
He does, yes.
Do the jingle.
Do the Mason Mount hoodoo jingle. Because two FA Cup finals?
Right.
Or two League Cup finals? There's definitely three domestic finals
that he's
been on the wrong side of.
I had that for the...
I think that's more for the Scottish Cup.
The Scottish Cup.
Yeah.
That wasn't for later. That was for what you were talking about.
You've gone too early, haven't you?
Also, no, I've gone too late. Too late. It's what you were talking about.
Also as well, the European Championship final.
Yes.
He was on the losing side as well.
This is the thing. This is you're getting. It's a 23-year-old player. Probably one of the best young players in the world. Mm. And you're getting in his head by inventing stats about him in finals.
I'm not inventing.
Well, you know what I mean, though.
He was the one who brought it up.
Oh, was he? Okay. But he's his own worst enemy then.
Exactly. Peter, do you like a hoodoo?
I do like a hoodoo. Do you do?
Well, I don't mind if I do.
Hoodoos are very quickly broken, I find, these days.
Really?
We isolate these hoodoos and then it's broken. I don't have to worry about the hoodoo anymore.
Go on then, give us an example of
Aaron
broken.
Ramsey. Aaron Ramsey's hoodoo.
What was that one?
Where every time he scored, someone famous died.
Oh, yeah.
That's true, yes.
Yeah. But people don't talk about it anymore because they've moved on to other things.
Is that a hoodoo?
Which for the people who die, very much so.
No, I know, because the one person has the hoodoo and then that's that.
That's true.
Surely it's a series of events.
It's almost like some unconscious power that he's wielding that he's not comfortable with.
I don't know. I think Mason Mount, Liverpool will be slight favourites for the final. There's no two ways about that. Mm. Ruben Loftus-Cheek was also among the goals in the semi-final. Lovely goal. Slight deflection, but still a good strike. He said post-match that he wouldn't normally celebrate against Crystal Palace because of the good time he had there. But he said he hadn't scored for a while and whatnot. And he said it was just an outpouring of emotion. It would be very, very churlish for anybody to say, well, he shouldn't be celebrating against his former side.
No, I think I heard that interview with Ruben, who is a lovely young
Ruben.
Man.
Ruben! Seems like a good lad.
Very nicely spoken, deliciously handsome, fantastic physique. Oh. What a man.
Yeah.
Right? A man you'd be very, very happy that one of your family members married and brought into the family. Very I'd be so, so excited.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually sat quite
peering near. Over when the you, shower.
I just want him to pick me up and hold
me. I just want to be held.
When you're peering over the shower.
When you're part of it, when you get married, you have a whole new family come in,
right?
And you get to meet all these great new people.
Yeah.
And then sometimes those people will marry other people, and the whole thing gets.
I know what you mean.
You know what family fucking entails.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if Ruben came into that environment, I'd be delighted.
Yeah.
And I would also like to add it by saying that I sat about three tables away from Ruben Loftus-Cheek a couple of years ago.
In your local McDonald's?
In a West London... No, come on.
Okay.
In a West London, not far from your neck of the woods, actually, a West London breakfast place.
Right.
And he was fully... Even though he was dressed fully in an Adidas tracksuit, he still looked amazing. Yeah. He looked the best person in there. Mm. What were we talking about?
Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
Yeah. Interview.
Yes.
He said, what he actually said was, I've got nothing but love, you know, great memories of my time at Palace and what he did for me and all the rest of it, but I was...
You didn't have to eliminate from the competition though, mate, did you?
I was delighted to score, he said. And I think that's fair enough.
No, I think it's very fair enough.
I think Palace massively missed Conor Gallagher, by the way. That's an obvious thing to say, yeah. but they couldn't really get in it.
This whole outcry, I understand it's annoying and you know,
it's pretty well established.
It is well established. You're absolutely right. This is well established. That doesn't mean to say that you can't be annoyed and you wish it wasn't. I understand that, but I think sometimes the way people were talking about it as if it was this new thing, but unfortunately,
I just think with this, I just think Vieira kind of got his tactics wrong a little bit. Played five at the back for the first time in ages, and the team didn't necessarily look that comfortable. They coped first half.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, Ward straight in as wing back. You kind of got the feeling that just Tuchel's got Vieira's number. Like, and, you know, they did a double over them in the league, I believe, this season. It's just one of those things. I didn't have much hope for them going into the match, but I thought you've got to go at Chelsea to get anything out of this game.
What they wanted to do, and they kind of did half achieve it. And you mentioned it yourself. It's a semi-final of a cup. You want to kind of stay in there,
keep them going in there.
Yeah. Half of the first half. Yeah.
Half time, you know, it's 0-0, and that's okay. It's job half done, and obviously they get undone by the end. But going at them, I see what you mean. But on the other hand, it could massively backfire. You don't want to embarrass your fans, do you?
I think Mateta had an amazing.
Well, I didn't know we didn't fucking fall to score.
Didn't have an amazing game, but after that, I think they really lost. Chelsea lost anyone to focus on, really. So they were just like, well, we don't really have to worry about anyone. And the same with Palace as well. They really kind of they lost the focal point for the entire side, and it just felt a bit after that, really. And Anderson with that back post.
Yeah.
I know he's a centre back, but
he has to score. They're the big moments in big cup games. You have to score. Yeah. That's
very true. What that Kai Havertz dive in the first half.
Oh my goodness.
Is there some FA regulation that would allow us to immediately, when anyone does that, close the roof of Wembley,
and everyone just
turn off all the lights, maybe some of those flames, those little kind of flames, them on, prison rules.
Yeah.
For 5 minutes, just on him, and he has to run away.
So, or free kick from the biggest opposition player.
What, you get to boot him. Boot him.
Yeah.
As hard as you can.
To boot him.
Awful behaviour.
But
awful.
It was... But Pete, you might be... I imagine you two are going to have differing opinions on this.
Go on.
It was a terrible dive, right?
Yeah.
But is it not also...
Prison justice.
Is it not quite funny how upset the broadcasting team get?
Yes, yeah, that's
because this is a really
funny.
British sense of like fair play. We just simply will not have this in our country.
Well,
kind of thing,
yeah, but this is always certain people pipe up on Twitter and so on and go, oh well, of course no English players dive, do they? Well, no one's saying that, but there's not a culture of diving in this country that there is in other countries.
Yeah.
Yes, it happens, but there is a stronger culture in Argentina. They always say, oh, if you can dive and get away, you've deceived the referee, you've deceived your opponent. Well played, son. That is not the culture here. Rightly or wrongly, it isn't. There's, you know, the culture here may be a big heavy challenge, or perhaps a big clearance or something. Maybe a slightly more uncultured way of playing the game. Perhaps it's just different culture. So that's why I think we get a bit het up about stuff like that. Of course, English players dive.
I would argue
maybe not quite as much as maybe some other. Other countries, but in, you know, so
but it's more, more homogenised now, isn't it?
Is there
any English culture really in football now? Like, what do English players
big
particularly
tackles.
Bring?
Oh, you see Mane? He would have done that if he weren't playing in England.
That's true. Yeah.
Big tackle into the net.
Oh, yeah.
It's goal of the season for me, that.
Totally.
Absolutely shooed him up.
Damn right.
Yeah, gentlemen, harsh but fair.
We must talk about the Scottish Cup semi-finals, rather.
Do that, Pete. We must. We must talk about
that. Farewell the stripy Nigels onto the Scottish boys.
How bloody dare you?
Yeah.
I want it that we had a Glasgow derby,
yep,
or an Old Firm derby, as I believe it's called, north of the border.
Believe it's called.
Well,
yeah,
I'm just a bit of inside knowledge, mate. And
so when Glasgow Rangers play Glasgow Celtic,
yes,
what do the locals call that as a game?
They call it,
it's a good game of Glasgow. Guys,
they say Glasgow is united once again.
Now, what's the inside joke, Pete? What would you call that derby?
What? Just
it's the old firm. What
the
would
old
you call
firm.
It?
The friendly derby.
The old firm, harking on about the old firm.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There we are. There we are, you see. Yes, well, of course, that was on Sunday. Celtic's hopes of a fifth treble in six seasons, which was pretty remarkable. Yeah, are over, of course, after they lose. But a good game. Always a good game between these two. Intensity. And,
atmosphere was cracking.
Yeah, it's pumping. It's absolutely pumping.
Nice to see Joe Hart on the big stage again, Peter.
Maybe some English culture to proceedings.
Absolutely.
Or just diving.
Just diving.
He's
yes,
a diver.
He's a big diver.
No one was moaning about that, were they?
He made an incredible passage of play.
Yeah.
Where it looked like he got up quick enough to tip one just over the bar, but bounced on the bar. Then he saved it. Like, if he did save that, that was actually very impressive.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, yeah. So Celtic at the moment looking all right for the league, 6 points ahead of Rangers with five games to go. They do play each other again in the league, but you would think that is quite a big gap at this stage of the season. But who knows? But Rangers, they're in the final and the semi-final of the Europa League, more of a cup team this team this year, you would say. But of course, they'll play the magnificent Gylfi Bays in the final. After they took Hibs apart yet again at Hampden, let's talk about the goals.
Amazing. And before we do that, can I just say that it's interesting, it is really in the spirit of sharing hands across Glasgow. They're sharing out all the trophies this season. Rangers might get the Europa League. Rangers, hopefully, you know, for them, will get the Cup. League Cup with the Celtic, I believe, didn't it?
Probably.
And Celtic are going to win the league. So, yeah, it's two each. And I think what they should do, if that does come to pass,
smelt them.
Draw a line under it. Just all move on.
Yeah. Surely open top bus parade, both teams on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Donny driving it.
With his half and
half
shirt.
Half and half shirt, yeah.
Yeah. Put that cardigan on, people will love it.
Me and Gaza. Gaza, stop doing that.
Yeah. No,
you can't do you and Gaza.
No.
That's too much on the Rangers side.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You and
Gaza and Henrik Larsson.
Chris Sutton.
Chris on the fucking bus and never let him off. Because I tell you what, sooner or later.
Conductor with a conductor's hat.
Sooner or later, there's going to be a radio show about football that isn't going to involve Chris Sutton.
Yeah.
But not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, get him on that bus.
We've got to throw our hat in the ring.
Give it a tank full of petrol and drive it to the nearest port.
We're in Glasgow, so it's not that far.
Hearts, great goals. Great goal.
Oh, yeah.
Just great stuff.
Ellis Sims scores that
turning
goal.
Turning and whacking it.
He scores
beautiful.
That goal, and you think, oh, that's a beauty.
That's a beauty.
That's good enough to win any semi final. Then Stephen Kingsley says, no, this is how you win a semi final.
Just 5 minutes later,
oh, my
doesn't even give Sims a chance to enjoy it. He doesn't even give Sims a chance for that goal to percolate.
Not even to simmer, if you will.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Absolute peach of a goal. Check that out. Yeah. It's a lovely little free kick routine. But the thing is, when the free kick routine, he plays it to the two.
It looks like it's gone wrong.
To the Hearts man who's got, like, his back to the wall, and then he plays it to the side.
Yeah.
You think, you've given him a lot to do. He's still, about sort of 27, 28 yards or whatever it would be out.
And he's like, check out this wackaroony.
Yeah. And then he just curls it into the corner.
Hibs
got a consolation on the
1 minute later.
On the 22nd minute, turned out to be a consolation.
Everything happened in like 6 minutes.
Yeah. Craig Gordon was in good form in goal, wasn't he? Made some
saves. He's not my goalkeeper of the week, though.
Who is?
Come up later in the show.
Lovely.
Sexy.
Well, a year ago, Hearts were knocked out by the Highland League's Brora Rangers. Now, look at them. Now look at them.
Why am I looking at them?
Because they're in the final.
They are in the final.
They are in the final.
10 years to the day till everyone did the beating.
Oh, I'm glad you reminded me of that.
Let's all do the beating.
It was, I think, just shy of a day. Certainly the weekend. Yeah, 10 years.
A fitting way to celebrate.
Hearts also won that semi-final 2-1 against Celtic.
Yeah,
and it was old Wee Beatty.
And he got his shirt off, and now they all sing "Let's all do the beating."
It's the greatest celebration in the history of football.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Is deflected into the bar. This is Sissoko. Oh, and it's off the post. Oh, and loser. Loser. Loser.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Oh, poor old loser.
Loser.
Right, everybody, let's see how we got on in Betway's 4 to score. Entry to Betway's 4 to score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. In game one, Manchester City versus Liverpool, I picked Trent Alexander-Arnold. It was, of course, Ibrahima Konate. Game two, Newcastle versus Leicester. Andy picked Chris Wood. It was, of course, Ademola Lookman. Game three, West Ham versus Burnley. Pete picked Jay Rodriguez. It was, of course, Wout Weghorst. And in game four, Chelsea versus Crystal Palace, Luke picked Jean-Philippe Mateta. And the result was Ruben Loftus-Cheek. We will be back with another round of 4 to score on the previous show this Friday.
Forward to that.
Yes, indeed. We are drowning in wooden spoons over here. Right, let's have some emails.
From Tom Pyman. Following on from your discussions about magistrates the other day, I felt compelled to make sure you were aware that former refereeing favourite Uriah Rennie is, or at least was, a magistrate at the court in Sheffield.
Oh.
While trying to be a journalist as a student, I used to pop along to report on the great and the good of the Steel City's petty crimes. I then couldn't believe my luck when at the start of what I thought would be an exceptionally dull shoplifting case, we were told to arise, and I saw none other than the great man himself standing before us. Particularly enjoyable was him interrupting one of the barristers the second the clock struck 1 p.m. to insist that we all need lunch.
Yeah, love that. Good
still
energy.
Ruling do with an iron lunch. Fist long after hanging up his whistle.
He's quite an interesting character, Rennie, because he's also got, hasn't he got a black belt in some kind of martial art, and he's got a master's degree as well. He's kind of keeping really busy since he stopped refereeing.
Polymath.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah,
Pete's got a black belt in banter.
Have you, Pete?
Have, yeah.
Well, not that's big bold claim when Lord Banter's sat in the chair next to him.
You gave him it.
Yeah,
or did he steal it from you?
No, I dished him out.
Yeah, 24/7 belt, we can take it off each other any time.
Oh dear, is that the emails? Lovely.
Pete, any experience being up in front of a magistrate that you can talk about?
Have you seen a footballer in the dock? Short at football. .com
or Twitter
at football. What legal things have you heard about
actually,
a footballer?
Actually, jurors are at Crown Court, not a magistrate court.
Oh, dear.
Here we are.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, don't.
Well, you can if you want. We can't read them out.
Yeah, we'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, we could probably redact the names, and yes. If Marcus reads them out as Arthur Shelby, we might get away, just about get away with it.
Have you ever had any problems with a footballer, legal or otherwise? Yep. Get him in for pep talks on Wednesday.
There we are. That's it. I think that's okay. Yeah. Make sure.
I think it's tone deaf.
Yeah,
and actually quite offensive.
Tell it to Rennie. Yeah.
You need a Rennie.
Gentlemen, let's...
Chinese on. Yes, there's Chinese waiting for me in the fridge.
So, right, let me
I didn't want to talk about the Premier League.
I'll be phoning in from home tomorrow morning.
The duality of man, right? Did a Luke and Pete show with Pete last week where he talked to me about how he's such at the end of his tether about his stomach problems. Yeah. He's paying money to go to a Harley Street doctor to look at it. Mm. And then he comes out with that. It's going to be 5 minutes.
Goes in with that.
He's going to go, that's 500 quid plus VAT, please.
Yeah.
5 minute consultation, stop eating the Chinese the next day. That's it.
Oh, dear.
Would the doctor care to learn that it is delicious?
If you're a doctor that's treated Pete Donaldson, show up at footballramble.com. There'll be no shortage.
I've got a wonky elbow. I've got sepsis on my elbow for some bloody reason,
how
right?
You got that?
And I had to go to the doctor's, right? And a kid came into the doctor's surgery with like a neck like that. And he walked in. He was like, and he's crying. And I said to his mum, that kid's got wry neck.
Did you? Why are you getting involved?
Because I was diagnosing kids in the waiting room and he fucking had Ryanair because I had
not,
it.
You're not qualified.
I've had it before. I know I'm not qualified, but I said, that kid's got Ryanair. Give him a Valium.
Yeah, that
and
mother,
I just walked out. Farewell, everyone.
You really are from the Beano. I've never heard any of this stuff.
That, imagine the mum. What an eccentric doctor. You shouldn't be doing that, mate. You get
what
kicked
you
out for that kind of thing.
That's can't strike kind of... me off if I've never been on.
Ah, he's got you there.
People have got mental health problems going to waiting surgeries, doctor surgeries, yeah. Whatever, and try to diagnose people. You can't do that.
Okay, well look, I got it right, though. He had Ryanair, so...
You're like a gambler.
The system works.
You talk about the wins. What ones did you get wrong?
I think,
how many bodies have you got on your
something
record?
Had to be amputated. I'm so sorry, everyone.
Oh, gentlemen, let's talk about the Premier League, if we may. There's been some moving and shaking for the race in the top four. Manchester United beat Norwich City 3-2. Put them to the sword, didn't they?
Yeah.
Put them to the bullies.
Did you see Anthony Elanga getting involved in the Cristiano Ronaldo celebration?
It was like Cristiano had briefed him to do that.
Yeah.
He's the next generation.
I don't blame Elanga because you're playing with one of the greatest footballers of all time. Mm. And he's like giving you a massive kudos for the assist.
And he's making you do it. Like, he's making you do it.
Yeah.
This late in that man's career, it's all getting a little bit rough to look at, isn't it?
It is. But then a hat trick.
He's got a hat trick against Norwich.
But it's a hat trick in Old Trafford in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
We've been so desensitised to that you're just slagging him off for scoring a hat trick for Man United.
Yeah.
Just what he does, though, isn't it?
True.
With it. He does what he does.
Fair enough,
with it.
Norwich are abysmal.
Well, look, I mean,
they nearly got a point.
I know. They brought it back to 2-2.
Is that why they booed Paul Pogba?
But the manner in which the first Norwich goal was scored, I think, really. I think Ranić should be talking about that in his presser. I thought it was bloody atrocious.
The defender was non-existent.
Absolutely atrocious.
Ranić's not going to talk about that. Wasn't their first goal good?
Yeah. I think you'll find Ranić's got an agreed previous list of talking points that he sticks to.
Yeah.
Very much a company man.
Well, yeah. But the funny thing is Manchester United, they're now fifth. They're 3 points behind Tottenham Hotspur, who are in fourth. Arsenal, who we thought, they're favourites for fourth spot. Are 3 points to Tottenham. They've got one game now. They've lost their last three, of course.
Yeah, two absolute banter results in North London.
Banter
by Spurs
results.
And Arsenal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Brighton did Arsenal a solid. Leandro Trossard, aka the Scourge of North London, returned. He's obviously scored against Arsenal last week, got the goal. And then Arsenal nicely set up against Southampton, of course. Get a result there. But Fraser Forster, no doubt Luke's goalkeeper of the week.
Official.
I mean, it is intriguing this battle for fourth spot. I mean, if you look at the fixtures that they have left, Manchester United have got to play Liverpool, of course, on Tuesday. They also have to go away to Arsenal. They've also got Chelsea. Other than that, Brentford, Brighton and Crystal Palace, they would be favourites in those games. I won't say they're going to win it, but they would be favourites.
Yeah.
Whereas Arsenal themselves, which is Manchester United, but they're away to West Ham, they've got Leeds, they're away to Spurs, they've got Newcastle, they've got Everton. So a bit of a
mixed
one
bag,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas Spurs, Brentford, Leicester, Liverpool, Arsenal, Burnley, Norwich. I think Spurs have probably got...
But there's no point assessing the team Spurs have got, because included in that list, if you had been saying this time last week, you'd say, they've got Brighton at home next.
Yeah, that's
They lost that game. Because they went for a phase, Spurs, of going one step forward, one step back in the league. They've now gone four steps forward and a gigantic step back. And the only thing that's worked in their favour is the fact that Arsenal were also beaten. That game on the 12th of May between Spurs and Arsenal looks absolutely massive.
Yes, it does.
It looks huge.
What about Brighton themselves? Great for them. It could be a top 10 finish.
They picked up their just stinky middle of the season a little. Well, last 2 months they've not played amazingly, so it's nice to see them pick up. Because
well, the thing is, but you say that, but they've not got the results. They kind of play the same all the time.
Yeah.
They and then they go through phases of not perhaps getting the results the casual observer thinks they should.
Yeah.
And then they do start getting them again.
Yeah.
And that basically means that they finish almost, I mean, they're exactly 10th with 40 points at the moment, which kind of makes sense. The one thing you would say about Brighton under Potter is they do stick to their task.
They do.
And modern managers always go, well, I don't really care about the results, it's about the performance, it's about them doing what we want them to do. And if they do that often enough, we'll get enough points for whatever it is we're targeting. And they kind of do that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's reflected in their goals for and goals against. I mean, I think it's only Burnley and Norwich have scored fewer goals than them in the league all season. Yet, if you look at, they've only conceded 37, which is
pretty good.
But you know, it's fewer than Spurs.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I would say the difference in those teams, though, Marcus, is that, and I think maybe this is the point you were going to make. So, apologies for the interruption. You wouldn't look at Burnley and Norwich and say they should be scoring more goals than 26 and 20 respectively. But you look at Brighton and go, they should have scored more than 20.
Yeah, and I think that's it. But if they can finish in the top 10, that will be a hell of a season for them. Mm. You know, but Luke, were you pleased for Southampton getting a 1-0 win against?
Well, I told you, Fraser Forster is my goalkeeper of the week. So,
yeah, exactly. So if it was,
told you everything you know.
I mean, I suppose for Southampton, it was an important win because they're now on 39 points. I mean, not many people have talked about them in the relegation scrap and so on.
No.
But you just want to make sure that you stay out of that conversation, which surely they've done now.
Well, they were on a terrible run.
Yes.
An absolutely terrible run. And they had a battering in there, a couple of batterings, actually. I know, three, in fact. Villa, City and Chelsea, they lost too heavily. They've got that in their locker. We know that. We know they get beaten quite heavily when it's not going for them. Do we enjoy that? Yes, we do. but they had a good result against Arsenal. And I think one of the things that would make Fraser Forster look better is if every single attempt on goal by Arsenal was at just the right height for the goalkeeper so he could save it. With the exception of one or two really genuinely world-class saves.
He's in the hunt for that third England goalkeeper spot, isn't he?
Just trying to think of a more exciting football conversation than that. Who's going to be the third choice England goalkeeper?
I think. But you know,
Sam, what about your man Tommy Heat?
It's looking unlikely now, but you never know. If the World Cup was not in Qatar and in another place, which is more responsible,
in about 2010,
yeah, maybe you might be right there. But I mean, look, you're having a go at Southampton, and people have talked about how good Palace are this season. Southampton 2 points above Palace at the moment. Palace do have a game in hand, but still, it shows you everybody.
But I think that's if you take the conversation in isolation. The reason people will praise Crystal Palace is for the almost like reanimation of the team. Mm. They're playing completely differently with a completely new manager, with a lot of new players, and they got the semi-final of FA Cup. Southampton are basically doing what they always do, and so therefore it's not getting as many headlines.
Palace also have +3 goal difference, whereas Southampton have -14. You know, I love a bit of goal difference chat.
Because Southampton down tools whenever anything goes against them, and Crystal Palace don't do that.
But you know, a clean sheet and 3 points is well done to Southampton.
It's a great result for them.
It's a good result. Oh, sorry.
No, Peter.
Well, it was a good result. I just thought that Arsenal had enough to beat Southampton, but their front players just did not look like they were gelling at all. They just looked like they were strangers, you know.
Well, it's worrying for Arsenal because
there was no flaw.
Well, it's worrying because they've lost three on the bench.
The only flaw was in Lacazette's lateral flaw.
Yeah,
that he failed.
Oh, I see.
Is that
a link?
Is that the whole build up for that?
Had nothing, pulled something out at the end. Thank you.
Is that you or Lacazette? Because what happens is you start to notice when Arsenal start losing games that the things Arteta says is quite odd.
Mm.
And if they win games, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Mm.
But he said after this game, if you saw the game, you'd say Arsenal had won comfortably.
Yeah.
It's like, well, cheers.
Yeah,
well, thanks very much. You fucking didn't.
So. Yeah, you didn't even score, you fool.
Yeah.
Well,
but sick burn, bro.
Can we talk about Emil Smith Rowe's tattoo?
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
Someone smashed a big clock on a lion.
Well, explain to the listeners what it is.
Someone smashed a big clock on a lion. It's as simple as that.
It's like a
cracked clock smashed on the head of a lion. It goes up to 13. So some people are saying that a tattoo has just made a mistake. I don't think he's made a mistake.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how much a footballer's tattoo costs compared to our very human tattoos?
How much do your tattoos cost?
That's not important.
A range of prices.
Between I think it is 80 and 400 quid.
I think it is important. Peter.
Very important.
I think so.
Let's take, for example, the one that's of you've got of someone that's now been cancelled.
Who?
That you've still got tattooed on your leg.
The Cat in the Hat?
Yeah.
He's not been cancelled.
How much did that cost?
His other characters may have been.
How much did that cost?
That was the £80, but that was in Leicester in the thousands. The 2000s.
Worth every penny?
Yeah, it's good.
And how much is Emma
very
Smith
accurate.
Rogue, how much is Emma Smith Rowe going to play for that?
That'll be £4,000, I reckon, because he'll want the best, won't he? He'll go to like a celebrity one, won't he? He'll go to like a celebrity.
The irony being, if that Cat in the Hat tattoo you had now was less accurate, it would be less embarrassing for you because people would know who it was.
I'm worried that he won't be able to afford it. Luke, your goalkeeper, Fraser Forster, it could have been Nick Pope, though.
Could have been Popey.
He had a great game in Burnley's point at West Ham.
He's on the plane, isn't he?
Yes. You're
still in charge of the manifest, right?
Yeah, I'm still. On sort of serious matters, I'm very worried for old Westwood. That
yes.
awful injury, and you saw what you know, it's one of those injuries where you look at the players' reactions and you think, oof,
Jesus, yeah, it didn't look great.
That is absolutely awful. So all the best to him, of course. Hopefully it's not, it is serious quite clearly, but hopefully he will be able to make a full recovery sooner rather than later. In terms of the football, Burnley, 1-0 up, they miss a penalty and you think, oh, for crying out loud. I mean, they're 3 points behind Everton now. You know, it's so frustrating for Burnley fans and Corne as well, taking the ball off Jay Rodriguez to take that penalty, because he makes it all himself, a beautiful touch to take it into the box and rounds the goalkeeper, does everything right, and you think, let Rodriguez take it. I forget who it was on commentary said he'd scored 19 in 21 penalties, Rodriguez. I'll take that.
You can't afford to muck around when you're in that position.
No, you can't. And obviously he, but do you know what, maybe the miss last week might be still playing on his mind. And he thinks, no, I want to put that right. And
it's not all about you though, is it? It's about the team.
Exactly. Yeah. So Burnley,
so that fought a score.
No, it's too late. There's already 1-0 at that point.
Too late. Yeah. Ben, me and Mike Jackson as the managerial combo.
Yeah.
Do we like that?
Sorry, me, Jackson.
I didn't say anything. I knew Pete had a line. Yeah. He's going to have a line, Pete, for this.
Yeah.
He's going to have a line and possibly a jingle for this.
I had nothing.
Yeah.
And I think you know that.
Well, exactly, yeah. But, even worse than Burnley are Watford, of course. The end of that game against Brentford, my giddy
arse. It's the most sickening moment for any team down the bottom of the Premier League all season.
Yeah.
Watford fans won't thank us for bringing this up again, but for those who haven't seen it,
they've had a bad season. they've had an atrocious season.
They missed two open goals in the same passage of play, and minutes later, they concede a winner to Brentford.
The rest of the match, they were just taking pot shots from 60 yards.
Just desperation stuff. But you might as well just give up now because that's the kind of thing that's working against you. And you're in big, big trouble.
Please don't be a sports psychologist ever.
Yeah, well, sorry.
No, but give up now.
Give up.
But you're absolutely right.
You've got Ryneck.
But Watford, though, like as you say, like win that game. Now they're still up against it. They'll be on 25 points.
Yeah.
And Everton got a couple of games handled. But now I honestly think after that, the way that's gone, I think they're down.
Do you feel for Roy?
I do feel for Roy a lot.
For Roy.
Although Roy did rightly say that there's 18 points still to play for. And if they win all of those 18 points, then they might stay up.
Well, they will stay up.
I think you'll be fine, Roy, if you do that. I don't think you will.
First
sadly.
Up, Man City away.
Yeah. Well, you remember his Fulham side when they won 3-2 at Manchester City. Yeah. That was a crucial
one.
They
also got to the Europa League final. Watford ain't doing that.
Well, maybe not this season.
No.
Or next season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, actually, if you want to take that to its natural conclusion,
I do.
It can't be this season.
No.
It can't be next season.
Yeah. No.
And because they're going to get relegated, it can't be the following season. All the season after that, because they get promoted again.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, really, Watford fans, you're going to have to put your Europa League plans on ice for a good few years.
But it is an absolute sickener, though, isn't it? That
terrible.
That thing. To not even get a point. But a word on Brentford. Brentford, there was, not for a while, but there was a little sort of, will they be dragged into it? They've won 5 of their last 6.
Yeah.
They've been brilliant. Eriksen has come in and played
what
his part
signing.
As well. Yeah, I think that would have been okay even without Eriksen. You know, Tony's been great and, you know, all the other usual suspects. But 39 points. They could finish in the top half of the table. I don't think they'll finish above Leicester. I think Leicester probably get ninth as if it's you know. But they're still alive in Europe. But Brentford, their first season up in the Premier League. I think survival is obviously a huge achievement, but not just survival. They've expressed themselves. They're a force, and if they can finish top half, of course the difference between 10th and 11th isn't much. But just to say, we finished in the top half of the league.
It's a great thing, and I think their opening game of the season against Arsenal that they won was a great moment, one of the standout Premier League moments this season. They've also got a chance to give some teams a bloody nose as well, because they play Spurs next and Man United after that. Yeah, you never know. Win both those games. Both those teams are massively vulnerable. Win both those games. Yeah. You've had a say in that race as well.
Certainly have.
But I would say on the Watford thing, the Man City up next, even if they take it to the very last day of the season and still in the hunt at that point, Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
Chelsea away.
I think they would take that because it would mean they're still in the hunt on the last day.
For sure.
Day. But I really... yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, a little bit Swedish or something.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So Dutch, looking at the table, most people would probably say that the bottom three, they're the ones that are going to go down. I mean, I think we're all agreed with Norwich. Watford, who are only a point above Norwich, you would say probably they've gone. Mm. Burnley, the only ones.
You started the production meeting today saying Watford are good. We have to talk about Watford because they're gone.
Mm.
You did say that.
I think they are.
Yeah.
I think it's too much. I don't think even Roy can do it. But if Roy can do it, I will love it because I love that man, Roy.
Mm.
But he can't do it. He is not
a miracle worker.
He's not
he?
A miracle worker.
Not even at Easter.
Gentlemen, we have to go to Major League Soccer to finish. Okay, we talk about.
I wonder why
we talk about teams being bottom of the league.
It's been some good football play.
It's been some good
exactly.
Football
it says
right.
Here.
Oh dear. Now look, I know they don't have relegation in Major League Soccer, which is just as well for Inter Miami. But if they did, I think that their fears would be eased by what's been happening recently in Florida. Phil Neville. Old Fizzat, he has dragged them off the bottom of the table with back-to-back wins. They are now 13th, 1 point above bottom place side DC United, who have a game in hand. So they are
dragged
going...
them off the bottom of the table from where he left them in the first place.
Good news, everyone. Oh, I fixed that window I smashed last week. He wants to line up and congratulate me. You did that with your head while drunk last week.
On loan Wolves striker, Leandro Campana, has been among the goals. And Fizzer said of him recently, he played a lot freer without Gonzalo Higuain in the team because he was the man.
Right.
A little dig.
Little dig.
At Higuain. A war of words between Fizzer. The two. Fizzer also said, what we saw on Saturday was 11 players.
You're not going to do the voice. There's no point having a section, is there? Yeah. He fights
doing
hard
the
for the section.
Yeah.
And he just fluffs it.
Lobbies.
He's not going to do the voice.
Lobbies on behalf of Fizzer.
You can't hold him back for an impression normally. Oi, oi, let me do a couple of impressions.
How do you do a Fizzer? Let's have a Fizzer, Lou.
You just got to whisper it into
it's
a
like,
generic man.
What we saw on Saturday was 11 players plus the three subs all headed in the same direction. That's how you do
towards
it.
Me.
Yeah.
I've pressure washed the shit off the wall. You put it there, Phil.
And that's not a pressure washer.
That's not a pressure washer.
It's your penis.
Oh,
yeah.
Working hard, staying together, sticking to the game plan. And that's going on. That's got to be the order of the day from now until next season. We found a formula now. That is
John Shuttleworth.
He's got a bit Graham Taylor.
I went off piece a bit there. Yeah. We found a formula now that's non-negotiable. We found a formula. Back to back wins. We found it.
Good news, Fizzer fans as well. I've got some more good news for you guys. fans of Fizzer, the Fizzers. Yeah. Good news for Fizzers. Because you know, like, so Taylor Swift fans are called Swifties, right?
Well, yeah.
And Carly Rae Jepsen fans are called Jepsies.
Okay.
We need one for Fizzer.
Yeah.
People need to send those in.
Fizzies.
Yeah, Fizzies maybe. So basically, on Wednesday of this week.
Yeah.
Inter Miami have got a cup game against a team in the division below, right? And they're playing Miami FC.
Yeah.
It's a local rivalry game against a team in the division below. So if anyone can mess this up, it's going to be Fizzer. So keep your eyes peeled for that because it's kick-off at midnight local time. Midnight English time, UK time.
Yeah.
So
local time would be mad.
I just think we play better at that time.
Yeah.
It's non-negotiable.
It's non-negotiable.
So they found a formula that's non-negotiable.
This week they're putting the floodlights on.
I love that. He's basically said to Gonzalo Higuain, hey, you're not very good, and I found my formula, and you're not a part of my plans.
Yes, yeah, it's a bold statement for a
That'll teach Gonzalo saying that he thought he was going to go over to MLS and play with a cigarette in his mouth that he said on, I think it was Christian Vieri's Twitch feed, I think he said.
It's an unhelpful thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah. Very, very silly.
He's only 34, Higuain.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he scored a colossal 15 goals in 2.5 seasons at Inter Miami. So maybe he wants to let a cigarette out of his mouth.
That's about 12 or 13 more than I thought he'd scored.
Yeah.
Can Fizzer get the better of him? Well, he seems to be getting the better of everyone else whilst Higuain's out the side. So well done, Fizzer. Back-to-back wins. Excellent stuff. There
it's
we are.
Isn't it because he has actually won two games in a row, which is his job. And would you say we've given him the requisite amount of respect for that here?
I just think,
it's a non-negotiable, we have to.
they're not bottom anymore. No. One whole point above DC United, and DC United have a game in hand, so we should be okay. There we are. Well done, De Fizzer. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network, everybody. The gang are back tomorrow. It should be a lovely old time. Until then, thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you. Can I just say before we wrap up that Back from the Brink is, I listened to the first episode this morning. It is a fantastic listen. So a little reminder that you should go over to Ramble Presents and have a subscribe and give that a listen. It's got some great voices in it and a great potted history of what is a quite an incredible saga, really. So well worth listening to.
It's a non-negotiable.
It's a non-negotiable.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Farewell, everyone.
And goodbye from me, Laura Love.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.